Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you allow us this opportunity to gather together this morning to worship you. We come as your people for that purpose, to bring you praise and glory and honor. Father, as we come, we seek to know that you are here in this place, in our midst. Make yourself known to us. Speak to us through your word in such a way that our lives would be shaped by you. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, for my whole life, to one extent or another, I've heard about the importance and benefits of regular physical exercise. Yeah, I got the same reaction at 7:30. Oh, no. At various points in my life, I have made efforts to engage in that kind of activity within the context of my capabilities. I never have been one who could run 10 miles every day or bench press 300 pounds, even once. But in my younger days, I did do some running and some weightlifting. As I have gotten older, what I have done for exercise has changed, and at times, it has disappeared. In those times, because I seem to be getting along okay, I can lose any sense of urgency about exercising. What happens, however, is that I also lose the benefits that come from regular physical exercise. Well, there can be a similar dynamic for us as Christians when we talk about the regular practice of prayer. We hear about the importance of prayer and receive repeated encouragement to pray, as in today's lesson from the Apostle Paul's first letter to Timothy. We might think we are doing fine with sporadic prayer, but never come to know the benefits of more consistent praying. Yet Paul encourages Timothy and us to greater perseverance in prayer. First of all is the phrase Paul used to speak of the high importance of what he is about to address. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Paul urges Timothy and the Ephesian Christians and us to be regularly engaged in all kinds of prayer. Each of the words mentioned here being in the plural form, meaning this isn't a quick one and done kind of thing. It is describing a repeated, ongoing, intentional prayerfulness on the part of believers, an urgency to pray, if you will. As Paul continues in this context, there are three aspects of prayer being emphasized. First, we see that the urgency of prayer leads us to pray for all people, including those in government. As Paul continues in verse 2, talking about praying for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. It is striking to note that at the time Paul wrote Timothy, Nero was the emperor of Rome. If you're not familiar with him, Nero was a horrible tyrant who ended up being disliked by most everybody. But Paul is still calling on Christians to pray for him. Part of the rationale Paul offers involves the welfare of the whole nation. The connection is that praying for governing officials will help them lead well, which will help the public prosper, which will benefit all those living in the land, including the Christians praying for their leaders. Centuries earlier, in the time of the prophet Jeremiah and the impending exile of the nation to Babylon, the people were called on to pray for the welfare of the places where they would be living in Babylon. The Lord speaking through the prophet saying, and seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. Praying for our governing authorities has nothing to do with our personal political affiliations. We may or may not approve or even like certain government leaders, but we pray for them, both their professional lives and their personal lives, that they carry out the duties of their office in ways beneficial to the common good. Others have pointed out as early as 100 AD, Clement, the Bishop of Rome, includes this prayer in a letter he wrote, "Grant them, Lord, health, peace, harmony, and stability, so that they may give no offense in administering the government you have given them." From the beginning, Christians have understood it is good to pray for leaders in their work. And we also pray for them as human beings, that they would be drawn closer to the Lord. Which actually leads to the next point. Second, we see that the urgency of prayer brings us to pray for the salvation of others in keeping with God's desire for them. Paul continues in verse 3, speaking of praying, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Paul understood deeply both the need of all people and the provision God had made for all people. His motivation for preaching the gospel was God's calling to do just that, especially bringing that message to the Gentile nations. As we heard last week, it is a message for everyone everywhere that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We see it time and time again in Paul's ministry that it was in praying for that message to be spread that he was given guidance and discernment in knowing where and how to go about doing it. That included sharing that message with prison guards and military rulers and governors and kings and even emperors. Paul was responding to and acting upon the desire of God for all people everywhere to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For us to pray for the salvation of others is simply to join our hearts to the heart of God. Some may criticize such prayer as being sanctimonious or judgmental, that it is a sign of hubris to suggest another person might need God's salvation. In fact, it is deep humility about our own need and the need all people have to repent and return to the Lord. As we heard in today's psalm, it is the humble who are lifted up by the Lord. Jerry Moster told me the story from yesterday at the Township Community Day when he was up there. There's a mom and a little girl who he was estimating about 3 years old came to the table, and they were talking about stuff, and they mentioned that they have the prayer slips that we always have available for people to fill out. Well, this little girl took one of those slips and a pen and filled out one of the prayer slips. I have it up here, and you'll hear her prayer later. Childlike faith that comes before God with humility, knowing her need and trusting in who God is to meet that need. That's what comes out of that story to me. An example for us. You see, the prideful who say they have no need for God's salvation are the ones who miss out on what He has provided. And so it is good and right for us to pray for others to hear and receive the good news of God's salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, just as others have prayed for us. Admittedly, there are situations when we don't necessarily know where someone stands with the Lord. Sometimes people will be blatant in their rejection of God, and we know to pray that God will change their hearts because they've made that clear. Especially in the political realm, sometimes leaders will speak of affiliation with a particular church or tradition, but it remains difficult to know if they are being genuine or exercising a public relations strategy. We can still pray that God will draw them to Himself in whatever way is needed. That is simply to align our desire with God's desire. Well, then third, we see that the urgency of prayer is sustained by knowing Jesus to be the mediator. Paul continues in verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time." Paul's emphasis on Jesus being the one mediator between God and man affirms both what Christ has done and what he continues to do. At a particular point in time, Christ Jesus gave himself as a ransom for us on the cross, a one-time sacrifice for our sins, which does not need to be repeated. That's much of the theme in the whole letter to the Hebrews. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came to earth in human flesh to accomplish that work on our behalf. Having been raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, and seated at the right hand of the Father, Christ Jesus continues to be our mediator. When we pray, we offer our prayers before God in the name of Jesus Christ. That is not just a liturgical practice, but it is a functional reality. As the theologian John Murray explained, thanksgiving and prayer are not only exercised in the grace which Christ imparts, but are also presented to God through Christ. Because Christ lives as our great high priest forever, he continues to make intercession for us, as well as making it possible for us to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Do you ever grow weary of praying for other people? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'd have to raise my own hand if I did. We know what that's like. One of the things that is hard about prayer is that it puts us in a posture of submission and trust. We submit our lives, our concerns and desires to God, to His ways and His wisdom. That may mean letting go of our own ideas and ways of fixing things for ourselves or for others, as well as letting go of our own timetables for all of that to happen. But we do so trusting that God will hear and respond in ways that will be in the best interest of everyone involved. Knowing Jesus as our mediator, we not only have confidence to come before the throne of grace, we have encouragement to persevere in doing so. God's immeasurable love for us, demonstrated in what He has done to provide for our redemption, is the same love at work in hearing and responding to our prayers. That prompts us to keep coming to Him as our Heavenly Father who loves us. And even when we are struggling with what to pray, or fumbling with words for how to pray, we keep at it, knowing it is the Holy Spirit who He has given to us, the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Even when weary, we keep praying because we know Jesus, our mediator, who is with us. It's interesting to watch interviews with those who have become former presidents of the United States. You know what I mean? They finish their time in office, and later somebody gets together and they do an interview with them. It's always interesting to watch those interviews. Invariably, at some point in the interview, there's almost a pensive, solemn moment when we catch a glimpse of how each one had experienced the overwhelming nature of the responsibilities of that office. They have needed and valued the prayers of the American people. In today's lesson, Paul is speaking of regular patterns of prayerful engagement. He implores Christians to be urgent in our practice and participation in prayer for all people, especially for those in positions of civic authority. If we listen at all to the regular news broadcasts, we know there are all kinds of reasons which prompt us to pray. For our national leaders, knowing how to respond to world events like the recent attacks on the oil fields in Saudi Arabia or weather emergencies like the hurricane that devastated the Bahamas, not to mention the countless domestic issues they face. For our state leaders to have wisdom in dealing with economic, education, and environmental issues. For our local leaders as they deal with local school systems and community development matters. You see, we don't need to wait for an emergency. We can pray every day and in every way, including for each of them to personally know and grow in the salvation of the Lord. Ultimately, when we pray like that, we benefit ourselves and all those around us. And so, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you allow us to come before you with the concerns of our lives. Not only do you permit it, you encourage it, you invite us. You have made it possible for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our mediator and advocate. It is because of him that we can come with confidence before your throne of grace. We thank you for that. And Father, at those times where we do feel like we are growing weary in our prayers, lift us up. Empower us with your Spirit to persevere, to keep at it, knowing that we are coming before you, the God of the universe, and with you, all things are possible. And so, keep us urgent in our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.